Chapter 4. We Are Death. Ultramar. Nearly 1,500 warriors of the Dreadwing had answered Redloss's call to arms. Many rode in rhinos, land raiders, Spartans, and other transports, but several hundred formed up on foot behind the armored machines of their brothers. Engines died, and 1,500 warriors stilled themselves, each reaching into his thoughts, remembering the teachings of the Dreadwing. From external vocalizers and the address systems of the vehicles, a low chant began. It was almost nothing at first, a sigh that became a whisper. The cold wind flicked hourglass-shaped pennants and brought a flurry of snow across the black of warplate. The whisper became a murmur, the words still indistinct. Aboard the Spartan, Redloss cross-broadcast the transmissions from the Dreadwing network to all non-Dark Angel frequencies, blanketing the airwaves with the sound of his warriors. In low orbit, the Intolerant turned its prow surfacewards, a spear of black and gold. Veins like the vertebrae of a kilometre-long Saurian extruded from its flanks. The chant resolved itself into words, still quiet but firm, the first rumble of thunder from a storm in the distance. The Dreadwing did not come in secret. They hid nothing of their purpose. Their strength did not come from righteous ire. They needed no justification. They needed no aggrandizing. The Dreadwing simply were. "We have come," they proclaimed. "We are death." Energy flared along the length of the Intolerant, arcs of purple and blue that leapt from one vein to the next, moving from stern to bow in succession. A few seconds later, another surge of lightning rippled down the starship. With each few passing seconds, the pause between flashes shortened. The voices of the Dreadwing became regular speech, the words slow and insistent, uttered between teeth gritted in wolfish grins. "We have come. We are death. We have come. We are death." Farith added his voice to the chant, his immense war axe in one hand, the other forming a fist that gently struck the beat on the console of the comm unit. "We have come. We are death." The other Dark Angels fell back, guided by the command of their paladins. Where gaps in the line appeared, the Dreadwing reformed, transports moving forward, squads repositioning, the wall of black consolidating even as rockets and shells crashed down around them. And there they stayed, motionless, the chant as unbroken as the line. "We have come. We are death." The mantra was insistent, loud, growing quicker and quicker. The pulses of cerulean fire that enveloped the Intolerant were almost constant. Above the battlefield, through the break in the clouds, it seemed as though a violet star sprang into life. "We have come. We are death." A shout, a promise, not a threat. Redloss's fist was beating hard, denting the metal of the console. Along the line, gauntlets beat in unison on chest plastrons and against the hulls of the tanks. Every half a second, with metronomic precision, a crash of metallic thunder rolled across the battlefield, swamping the sound of las blasts and autocannon shells. "We have come. We are death." As one, the Dreadwing took 5 paces in time to the chant while the tanks snarled forward alongside. "We have come. We are death." The Intolerant was awash with swirling energy, the void around it buckling and twisting like a warped mirror. The flare of power cast impossible shadows against the vacuum of space. "We have come. We are death." The Dreadwing advanced again, walking forward at a quick march, every warrior in step, their vehicles taking the brunt of fire from the redirected weapons of the traitor's bunkers. Redloss pulled himself up the ladder to the command hatch atop the Spartan and ascended to the roof of the vehicle. It ground forward in time with the advance, engines like the rumble of a dormant giant. He lifted up the great hourglass-headed axe in both hands, pumping his arm along with the chant. "We have come," roared Farith. "We are death." The Intolerant opened fire. From the ground, Redloss watched the descending bolt of darkness. It looked like a negative sun, a sphere of black that slid across reality rather than dropped with mass, slower than a shell or missile, impossibly dense, yet intangible.
We have come. We are death.
The chant reverberated along the valley one last time before the intolerance bolt struck the ground. The darkness vanished, slipping past the ice and mud, and for several heartbeats, nothing happened. The rift blast expanded in an instant, a lightning-wreathed oval of discordant energy that filled the space between the Dreadwing and the Stronghold, its crackling edge no more than 100 meters from Redlos. A screech like a god's whetstone split the air, speakers and vox units emitting their own piercing feedback wails in reply. A million tons of earth and ice sparkled in blue suspension, every grain of rock and mote of ash shimmering with tiny arcs of warp power. In the depths of the rift, shapes moved almost unseen, the broadest sweep of a face or raking claw. They appeared more like afterimages, rendered in three dimensions against the stretched skin of reality, pressing to pass through a veil only made visible by their presence. Redlos held his breath, awed by the beauty of the moment, as he always was. An instant later, the warp field collapsed like a storm bubbling down into a single drop of rain. Dirt, snow, ferrocrete, flesh, metal, ceramite, bone, all disappeared with a boom that eclipsed all other sounds of battle. Silence followed as Fareth's autosensors shut out the reverberations from the valley walls, but he could feel the ground shaking even through the rumble of the Spartans' engines and the grinding of its tracks. Where the warp rift had imploded, it left a smooth-sided semi-ovoid, a perfectly formed crater 10 meters deep. The vehicles of the Dreadwing accelerated into the dip, the legionaries keeping pace with warplate-boosted strides. The grand cannons of the fortress could not adjust their aim quickly enough to follow the advance, so that the black line seemed to leave a wake of fire and explosions. Within 15 seconds, they were inside the range of the main batteries, and the tumult ended. It was replaced by the flare of lascannon beams and the crack of autocannons. Heavy bolters snarled rapid-fire rounds into the approaching Dark Angels. The Dreadwing returned fire, their bolts passing through the energy shield, heavier weaponry still, deflected and refracted from its insubstantial edge.
"Heart pierce!"
Redlos snarled across the comm feed. Overhead, a throatier roar joined the whine of interceptor jets. Blunt-nosed and slab-sided, four Cestus assault rams sped towards the fortress, leaving trails of plasma exhaust. The blue gleam of power fields surrounded their snub prows. Anti-aircraft guns sprang into life, filling the air with detonations, multi-laser fire ricocheting from the reinforced hulls of the manned projectiles. Boosters flared like suns, turning the aerial rams into dark blurs that snapped through the defense field, their Havoc missile systems spewing rockets along the casements in the second before they hit the walls of the stronghold. Light burned whiter than the snow as magna melters developed to crack open the hulls of starships burst into life. The armored prows slammed through the vaporized remains of the walls, depositing the legionaries aboard directly into the fortress. Redlos clambered down into the troop compartment as they drew within 100 meters of the main fortress, the Spartans' tracks cutting ridges along the smooth slope of the void crater. Brace, harnesses, and inertia rams whined out of view as his companions stood at his back. He waited at the assault ramp's edge, one fist hovering over the bright red activator, axe in the other. Missiles from Whirlwind screamed over the Spartan to smash into the gates of the outer wall. Their warheads shattered into rad-infused shrapnel, contaminating the entire gatehouse with deadly splinters. Quad las cannons fired as the armored carrier skidded across icy mud. Four beams sliced through the buckled remains of the gate. The armored nose of the transport smashed through the remnants, sending twisted metal flying in all directions. Redlos smacked his fist against the ramp release. Hydraulics spasmed, sending the assault ramp crashing down, crushing three red-clad defenders beneath its bulk. At the head of his brothers, Redlos led the assault. The first waves of enemy were unaugmented legion servants dressed in a mixture of padded flak armor and sturdier ceramite-laced scale or plated carapace. Some had bolters, most carried autoguns that chattered madly as they fired. Redloss held back for a moment, allowing the Terminators to take the lead, Danaus at the front. The voted successor's Power Fist incorporated an auxiliary grenade launcher that hurled a volley of Promethium charges into the midst of the enemy. Blossoms of fire engulfed a score of foes, turning flesh and clothing to ash that carried away in the wind of frag grenade detonations. The combi bolters of the Terminators cut a bloody gash through the defenders, allowing the Dreadwing to push on, 100 warriors through the breach in the opening minutes of the attack. Phosphex churned from incinerator cannons, turning squads to ashes, the baleful flames seeming to climb through the fortress's ports and murder holes. On the ramparts above, squads deposited by the Cestus assault rams worked their way along the battlement, slaughtering gunnery crews, their advance heralded by the crack of bolt rounds and the base judder of autocannons and heavy bolters. Rad bombs scorched the defences, flaying skin from flesh, flesh from bone, the lucky ones dispatched by snarling chain weapons, others simply left to die in screeching agony. Redloss moved left, waving his men forward with his axe. The enemy fell back from the courtyard immediately behind the gate, seeking shelter in the bastions that held up the next line of wall. Lasbolts and bullets screamed down from gun slits in the towers, sparking indigo flares from the energy field contained within Redloss's artificer-wrought armor. Now that they were inside the Citadel power fields, the Dreadwing's augurs crackled and pinged into life, flooded with enemy signals. Most were unaugmented serfs, but there were at least 20 of thermal plumes that had to be powered warplate of some kind. "Be free with your lethal attention, my brothers!" Redloss called to his warriors. He rejoiced at seeing the Dreadwing in full force, for only rarely did a commander dare call upon them to act en masse. Constantine had told him of short-lived voted lieutenants that had never seen the marvel of the Dreadwing in action. In that regard, the rebellion of Horus was a blessing. Not since the first years of the Great Crusade had the weapons of his brothers been in such demand. Vindicator siege tanks growled through the open gates and the broken sections of wall. Their massive thunderer cannons belched void-tipped shells that drew on the same ancient Terran technology as the annihilator cannon of the Intolerant. Swirling vortexes erupted along the next rampart, tearing chunks in the ferrocrete, purple and white implosions sucking warriors into the never realm of the warp. Behind the Vindicators came Predator tanks, their turrets and sponsons pouring out the wrath of the Dreadwing through autocannons and las cannons, heavy bolters and plasma cannons. Spartans and Land Raiders added to the storm of fire, the glow of laser and muzzle flare lighting the grey walls with red and blue and green. In the wake of the armoured attack, more Dreadwing infantry reached the stronghold. They split, some ascending the outer wall to pour fire over the heads of their brothers, while the bulk of the Brotherhood pushed on towards the next fortifications. The demise of the fortress was inevitable, now that the outer wall had been pierced, but Redloss had another concern. "Don't let any of the traitor filth escape," he roared over the vox. "Push hard, push swift."
"Detecting massive energy surges from the eastern quadrant on a sub-level, honored Dreadbringer," one of the augur carriers reported. "It must be the shield generators." "Griffon rampant," Redloss voxed to his warriors, using the coded war tongue of the order. "The Drake's breath by twilight, blood ridden on the sinister veil, inverse chimera."
Every phrase was a shorthand for a formation and objective. Each Dreadwing brother knew precisely his place and role in each. More a means to communicate principles and ethos than a specific engagement plan, the battle cant allowed Redloss to convey complex information to a variable number of warriors. Those that operated under the guise of the Griffon, in this case mostly the Terminator squads and their accompanying Spartans, Mastodons and Land Raiders, took to the fore again, advancing against the second line of defence. Behind the shield of this attack, destroyer squads with melter weapons, rad missiles and heavy flamers converged on the left flank. Warriors with jump packs ascended to the ramparts of the towers, dual bolt pistols spitting death, the sergeant's phosphex grenades turning the upper stories into fire-wreathed crematoria. Other Dreadwing squads assembled behind the destroyers, the many heads of the Chimeras gathering in one place to attack. Devastator teams unleashed salvos of missiles, while mole mortars fired subterranean rounds into the sublevels where the shield generators were located. Redloss monitored the advance from the second wave, his role to steer the wrath of his brothers, the guiding hand that would ensure the rage of the Dreadwing fell upon the correct point. The enemy counterattacked, armored gates to the far left wheezing open to reveal two dreadnoughts, war machines twice the size of a space marine, piloted by venerable warriors too badly wounded to fight on without their massive armored forms. With them came a score of World Eaters screaming battle cries, their blue and white battle plates stained red with Zephathian blood. A tide of unaugmented humans followed, shrieking and yelling in the wake of their superhuman masters. By themselves, they posed little threat, but the traitors headed towards the flank of the Dreadwing force, pushing hard to breach the towers closest to the generators. Gunners on the ramparts above were getting their aim in, and any delay would increase the casualties significantly.
"Dreadbringers, ire! Redden your blades!"
With this command, Redloss broke into a run, heading towards the emerging traitors, the head of his axe leaving ruddy trails as he accelerated to a full sprint. His nearest close combat troops followed as though drawn along by invisible tethers. A scathing volley of fire preceded Redloss's countercharge by a few seconds. Fire directed down from the outer wall sheared into the armored tip of the World Eater's thrust. A handful fell, torn apart by las cannon blasts and anti-tank missiles. The others pressed on towards their foes without hesitation. One of the dreadnoughts, the plates of its armor painted in the livery of Angron's 12th, swung towards Redloss. Its right hand was a chain claw, 2-meter-long tines edged with whirling teeth. Its left mount sported a quadruple autocannon that burst into life with a staccato snarl. The fusillade hit a dark angel a few meters to the left of the Dreadbringer, smashing him from his feet as black plate exploded into splinters. The dreadnought raked its fire towards Redloss, and he dived into it, taking 2 impacts against his plastron as he rolled through the flicker of tracer rounds. Another Dreadwing warrior was caught high, pauldrons cracking, helm turned to a buckled, broken mess by the storm of fist-sized shells that hurled his corpse into his brothers following behind. Redloss regained his momentum in a second and powered onwards undeterred. He could smell the blood of his brother spattered on his armor, and as he closed with the World Eaters, the stench of old viscera assailed him through the olfactory intake. The stark image of the bone towers drove Redloss on. It was not the slaughter itself that riled him. He had been brought into the Dreadwing for his expertise in killing, and had ascended to the position of voted lieutenant upon a pile of indiscriminately slain corpses. It was a source of pride that he could number his dead foes in the tens of thousands. But he did not boast. Needless glorification, the hubris of exhibition offended his sensibilities. He had seen much of the Word-Bearers and the legacy of the offensive they had called their Shadow Crusade. He had been present at the interrogation of several prisoners. It was their assertion that the energy of the warp could be shaped by sacrifice and ritual, much as a psyker could, when properly trained, siphon warp energy into psychic powers within the material realm. Mostly nonsense, it seemed, but a twisted logic that underpinned their brutality. He pounded across the shell-pocked courtyard while more Dark Angels bounded past, their jump packs carrying them in long leaps towards the foe. The World Eaters were a different case. They made sport of their slaying. Redloss could admit that he liked to bring death. The power of ending another life was intoxicating at times. But it was the outcome that drew him, not the act. It mattered not at all whether he slew a foe with a bolter or a battlecruiser. The transition from living to dead was the same. The World Eaters he had faced during the purge of the 500 worlds were deluded, gaining pleasure from the fighting itself. The 12th's cerebral implants made them superior warriors, but had turned them into raging caricatures of themselves, on occasion sacrificing victory for the sake of prolonging combat. The towers were wasteful, exuberant declarations of power, an abuse of the devastating potential that had been gifted to them by the Emperor. It was as alien to Redloss as the thought that his axe might enjoy cutting. That strangeness fueled his hatred and made him want to destroy the perpetrators. The assault squad drove like a sword point into the oncoming defenders, bolt pistols barking, chainswords snarling. A last-moment storm of lasfire, bullets and bolts greeted them, and then the two forces swirled together in wild melee. The dreadnought crashed into the anarchy, its claws slashing and gouging, hacking through serfs and dark angels. It pivoted at the waist, beheading three of its own to smash spinning adamantium teeth through a descending assault legionary. Another dark angel was torn in two by the next swing, the power plant of his backpack exploding into a miniature lightning storm as the gut-slicked claw cleaved him in half. The dreadnought pilot spied Redloss and opened fire with the autocannons. The Dreadwing commander plunged through the hail, trusting to the protection of his warplate's field. An actinic aura of discharging energy engulfed him, and a second later he burst from the storm trailing purple streamers of energy, axe raised for the strike. His first double-handed blow hewed into the side of the main sarcophagus. The axe's power field exploded into life, ceramite splintered, and the ferrite lair beneath vaporized. The dreadnought turned, lashing wildly with its claw. Redloss moved with the war machine, using its bulk against it, keeping out of reach. His axe swung up, severing hydraulics and bursting pneumatics in the hip. The dreadnought listed to the right like a holed boat, making one last desperate lunge with its chain claw. It caught a glancing blow across Redloss's backpack, a cloud of ice particles from a ruptured coolant stream sprayed behind him. Ignoring the mass of the engine block, Redloss circled around once more. The dreadnought spun its armored torso on immobilized legs, trying to catch him. The voted lieutenant suddenly changed direction. He ducked beneath the slicing claw and slammed the power axe into the rotating sarcophagus, using his strength and the momentum of the dreadnought's spin to break open the pilot's housing. The blade bit deep, blood and artificial amniotic fluid fountain from the armored womb case. The pilot's twitching death throes threw the dreadnought backwards, claw carving furrows in the ground as it fell. Redloss did not give the downed war machine a second glance. Two World Eater's legionaries turned towards him, bolts from their pistols becoming smoke trails in the blaze of his energy shield. The Dreadwing commander launched into another charge, wasting no time.
"Unlike you bloodthirsty savages," he snarled through his battle plate's vocalizers, "I'll make this quick!"